Good morning and welcome to Hometown Alaska, where today you have two hosts for the price of one. I'm Kathleen McCoy and I'm joined by new Hometown Alaska host EJ David. EJ, would you like to say hello to our audience?
Magandang umaga, everybody. Good morning.
You're going to be hearing a lot more from EJ as we go on. But what are we doing here with two hosts? Well, this is really what we call our all ears show. I don't know if you've been listening to Hometown for a number of years. It's been around for a while. We periodically have these kinds of shows where we call them all ears, and we're really here all ears for you. We want to hear from you what kind of topics you'd like Hometown Alaska to work on. And also, it's an opportunity to have EJ and I just talk and introduce EJ a little bit to the audience since he hasn't been, he's been on before couple times. He's been on, a year ago, I was looking it up, a year ago in May, you were on as a pop-up. A pop-up host. it was a program on Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders.
Yes.
And, you know, for me, a lot of times when if it's a topic that I'm way on the outside of, want to know more, but don't really have an avenue in, I've had pop-up hosts join me. And this was a case which I think benefited the show so much because you knew the Asian American and Pacific Islander community, and you knew lots of issues. And Jeff Chan was also really important, who also now works at Alaska Public Media. Anyway, I just remember that show very fondly. So that's how it began. But I think you also did things with maybe Talk of Alaska and community.
Yes,
other
I
community.
Did.
So you've been kind of percolating around the station for a while. But now, you know, you're actually a formal host on Hometown Alaska. And I think your plan, as I understand it, EJ, is basically once a month you will solo host.
That's right. That's right. I will solo host once a month. My first one is actually in a couple of weeks, so I'm excited about that. But even though, yeah, you and I have worked together, you know, in many different avenues already.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I've shared my story, you've interviewed me, and I've guested on your show or your columns. I'm still very new to the radio game. So today is a great opportunity for me to see the process and to learn from, you know, an experienced person like Kathleen. So,
oh, my goodness. I'm an amateur, always an amateur. Fresh eyes, always, you know, beginning. But anyway, let me just share our phone number with our audience. We would love to hear from you, whether it's by email at hometown@alaskapublic.org, or feel free to call us at 550-8433, that's Anchorage, or 1-888-353-5752. There's people around Alaska that want to talk to you, EJ.
All right.
That's the statewide number.
I hope to hear from you.
Okay. Please give us a call, because otherwise you're just going to have to listen to EJ and I talk.
Yeah.
And we would rather talk to you guys.
That's right.
And hear what's on your mind, because we really do take this seriously. We do write lists of what people tell us they'd like to hear, topics they'd like to hear, and we have done a lot of them. So I'm actually going to, we have a caller, EJ.
Oh, we
so
do.
We're
right.
Already going to like to welcome David Hoffman onto Hometown Alaska. Hi, David. Okay, EJ's laughing. Maybe you guys know each other. Hi, David.
Really, I know him really well.
We do know each other. We are next-door neighbors, and I also just dropped his daughter off at the dentist and delivered her to school. So she happens to be my granddaughter, by the way.
Ah, nice, nice.
Good to hear your voice. David Hoffman is my father-in-law. Yes.
Oh, if there's a fan, that's a father-in-law is a fan. That is so great. That's so great. Well, listen, here's your chance to tell your son-in-law what he needs to do.
Well, I'm as you know, EJ is a psychologist, and I'm worried about his mental health this morning. He's grieving over the loss by the University of Illinois yesterday in an upset in March Madness.
Oh.
And so I figured as part of his recovery therapy that maybe on a future show you could have a show about basketball and he could share some of his stories as a former All-State Alaska basketball high school player and sort of refocus some of that grief on former episodes of joy.
Wow.
And given that he's got three future superstars living in his house. Well, actually four, but one of them's only a year and a half, but three of them actively play basketball. I think that there should be a future show on basketball. So that's my contribution.
Cool. So, okay.
This morning. And Kathleen, I also need to say I've been a huge fan of you and this show, so this is the first time calling in.
Oh, I'm so glad that you called in. That's great. I hear from people who listen but don't call in, and sometimes I used to worry about that, like, maybe they're falling asleep in front of their radio, but I think lots of people just like to listen, and you know, maybe it's a sign that the guests are good and that they want to hear from those guests. So I've stopped taking it personally if no one calls. Mm-hmm. But David, it's just great to hear from you.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah,
thanks for calling. And that's a great idea. You know, that's a part of my life that was, you know, from a long time ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, still a huge basketball fan to this day.
Yeah. So. Well, thank you so much, David. And if anything else occurs to you, call back. Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Gosh, EJ, I thought we should do a little bio. You know, I know that people do know who you are. Certainly the university community does. Lots of their social groups would know who you are. But there might be people who don't know. So I went ahead and looked at our website where there's a nice little bio on you. And I'm just going to share it, if that's okay with you.
Sure, yeah.
I guess I could just tell you to tell it, but I'll let you off the hook.
All right.
You probably wrote this, right?
I can fill it in, yeah.
So anyway, by the way, am I making a mistake by calling you EJ? That's always the way
EJ's
I hear
you. No, EJ's good. Yeah.
Then I see EJR.
Yeah, no, the R.
Is that kind of formal?
That's my publishing name, I should say.
Okay, so not to worry if I just say EJ.
No, I go by EJ.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so EJ was born in the Philippines. Now, help me with this. Kapampangan.
Yeah.
And Tagalog parents.
Tagalog.
Okay.
Tagalog, yeah.
See, thank you. Okay. And grew up in Pasay, Las Piñas, Makati, and Ukiavik, Alaska. So that last place is our place.
That's right.
Now he lives in Anchorage, Alaska, how would you say that?
Digayakak.
Uh-huh. The traditional homelands of the Nanaina Athabascan people, with his wife.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to say that.
You can just call them Margaret.
Margaret. Yeah. And their four children.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's see. I can't say. And countless friends and relatives. And we just heard from a relative.
Yeah.
Dr. David obtained his bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Alaska, Anchorage, and a master of arts and a doctoral degree in clinical community psychology from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. He's a tenured professor of psychology at the University of Alaska Anchorage, with his primary duties being with the PhD program in clinical community psychology that has a rural, cultural, and indigenous emphasis. Then I went over to your UAA. I guess they call them, what do they call them, CVs?
Yes, the CVs.
But anyway, I just thought people might be interested. Your research interests, which will probably flow into some of your ideas.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Ethnic minority psychology, Filipino-American psychology, internalized depression and mental health, Asian-American Pacific Islander psychology, and indigenous and post-colonial psychology. And just one more thing, and then we're going to let you off the hook there, EJ. he's been writing books, and, you know, maybe when you tell a little bit more of your personal story of how you came from the Philippines to Ukiagvik, I think you've lived this, and now you are writing about it. So some of the books, and maybe we should put this on our website just if people want to find it. The first one, I think, back in 2013 was Brown Skin, White Minds, Filipino-American Postcolonial Psychology.
Mm-hmm.
The next one was in 2014, Internalized Depression, the Psychology of Marginalized Groups.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you've steadily just every couple of years another book, The Psychology of Oppression in 2017. And the latest one, 2018, We Have Not Stopped Trembling Yet.
Mm-hmm.
So really, congratulations on a really successful and vibrant academic career. So I think, we're waiting for your calls, listeners. So, you know, what shows would you like us to work on? But EJ and I laughed before the show because I've told his story so many times. It's one of my favorite stories. So I really loved when he was on the show, I would tell it.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I got a chance. Anyway, tell us a little bit about how it is that you were born in the Philippines and you ended up going to school in Ukiagvik.
Yeah, well, that story, I mean, there's a lot of different parts to that story. Mm-hmm. But maybe I'll share a story right now.
Okay.
That you haven't heard.
I haven't heard. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
So I remember, I'm going to tell the actual story of me moving, like the actual flights.
Okay.
So this was when I was 14 years old. And my brother was like around 8. And my father, who lived in Barrow, or what used to be called Barrow back then, he asked my mom to... for a couple of crucifixes that he wanted to donate to the church in Barrow, to the Catholic Church in Barrow. But it's about 4 feet high, these crucifixes. So these are not like little crucifixes. These are like, 4 feet tall crucifixes. And he wanted two of them, one for the church and one for his house in Barrow, right? But you cannot check that in. That's not a checkable luggage. And so what ended up happening was my brother and I had to carry on these 4 feet tall crucifixes
all
the way from
just,
the Philippines.
they're crucifixes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All the way from the Philippines, all the way to Barrow. We had to carry crucifixes, my brother and I.
It's kind of a pilgrimage.
Yeah, it was very symbolic in many ways.
Yes.
So, I look back on it now. Back then it was, it was just something that we had to do. Mm-hmm. We thought, my parents told us to do this.
Okay.
But now I look back on it, it was a pretty funny sight, to see two little kids carrying crucifixes that are just as tall as them.
Did people ask you, or did people just kind of give you the side eye?
I think I was too young to notice what other people were thinking of me. I thought that's just how people traveled.
Yeah. Where's your crucifix? Listen, if you're just joining us, we're talking with EJ David, who's joining the Hometown Alaska crew as a host, and he'll be a solo host once a month, and he's got a show coming up. But we thought we would take this opportunity to just listen to our audience. Whatever ideas you would like us to work on, we're really interested in that. You can email us if you don't want to call, but here's the number, 550-8433 for Anchorage, and of course the email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. So don't be shy if there's kind of, we've already got one really good idea. I love that. Basketball, there's really not a slot. And when I think of the local programming that we've got here, Line One does a lot of health and Outdoor Explorers, sports maybe, but outdoors.
Yeah. So. Well, right now, I think it's very timely, right? It's March. It's March Madness.
Yes.
Both nationally and here in Alaska. Mm-hmm. We're going to have the state basketball tournament.
When is that?
I believe it's next week.
And does it happen?
It's in the Matsu this year.
Okay, up in the Matsu. Okay.
Yeah, this year. But usually it's either Anchorage or Fairbanks who hosts it.
Yeah.
But, that's a big event for Alaska. Alaska loves its basketball.
Rural communities.
Especially
too.
Rural communities, yeah. So that's another part of my life. When I moved to Utqiagvik, there were a lot of, as a 14-year-old, you're trying to get to know yourself and struggling with a lot of issues.
What am I?
Yeah. But basketball helped me out, especially in Barrow. Barrow Whaler basketball is huge. The community support is amazing. And so for me to have basketball be my love at that time of my life in a community like Barrow or Utqiagvik was very helpful because, basketball really set me straight. It gave me direction. I think it helped me figure out who I am.
What was it about basketball that you loved at that time? Was it just that you were good at it? I can be good at something, or what was it?
Well, no, I've already loved basketball even before I went to Calgary. I was already playing it in the Philippines, but I think the fact that I was in a community that also loved basketball just as much as I did, and I was surrounded by many other people. Who were devoted to the game and respected the game and taught me the game.
Even different from playing in the Philippines, there was an intensity and a love of the game that was even fresh in Utqiagvik.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that was, just the home games are amazing. Every home game, the gym is packed. the crowds are rowdy.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. So that experience definitely was super influential. In developing who I am, but also at the same time, developing my professional interests in some way because I saw how powerful community support can be and how powerful the environment can shape people. So a lot of our strengths, a lot of who we are, especially in this country, we tend to have this super individualistic worldview and thinking that everything we achieve is just because of ourselves and of our abilities and so on. And, you know, my experiences in Utqiagvik really taught me that, sure, we do have our individual abilities and our individual desires and loves, but our community, our environment, is a huge factor in, determining whether we get there or not and how we get to there.
You know, I'm going to welcome Dane onto Hometown Alaska. Hello, Dane. How are you? Are you another fan of EJ's?
I'm just new to the state. So I am getting to know the state through the radio, public radio. I love it. And I was just hoping that you guys could help me learn more about the state by highlighting hidden gems of different communities in Alaska or like hidden or unknown events that kind of happen throughout the communities here. And that's my little two cents, because I just love listening to you guys. It's a great way to kind of get to know the Alaskan side of everything.
Right. I moved here almost 40 years ago, and I remember it's a big place, and it's a small state. This is something, a cliche that you'll always hear. It's a small state because people-wise, it's if you're in one community and then you move to another community, they already know about you when you move there. So it's a small state, but it's a big state geographically and impressive. And, that's one thing I'll say about Hometown Alaska. The format is quite open. We can do statewide issues. We can do Anchorage issues. We certainly do a lot of Anchorage issues because the bulk of our listeners are probably in South Central. But our show can stream around the state, and lots of times our sources are around the state. So that's a really great idea, and reminds me again, I can think of shows we've done just to celebrate something about Alaska, whether it was, a show on ravens. We did a show on, because they're pretty darn interesting. Mm-hmm. Or we had a show on owls a while ago. this is a really unique place. It's a great place to be a journalist or a radio host. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many interesting people, and it's challenging to live here. It's rewarding to live here. There's just so much. So, Dane, that's a great idea, and I really, really want to say thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Dane. Alaska is great. Alaska is huge, and it's also very, very diverse. Right?
Yeah.
Different parts of Alaska, have different climate, different cultures, just different ways of living. So. Yeah, that's a great idea. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Thank you, Dane. And I took notes. I've got my pencil here, and I'm taking notes. Let's see. I'd like to welcome Ayu Kachatak. Hello, Ayu.
Hey, sister. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, brother?
I'm here.
He's doing great.
I just wanted to call and give an idea for an upcoming show sometime that I would love to hear.
Great.
I was thinking, especially because you're on the air now, and the perspective that you bring, is not one that most Alaskans get to listen to, especially when you kind of look at the whole landscape of media. I think it would be really interesting if there was a show dedicated to talking about the role that media plays in either understanding or perpetuating issues around race and discourse that we have in the country. I think for peoples of color, it could be a really interesting space to kind of dive into talking about how media has influenced our own perception of ourselves and each other, and for members in media to have that opportunity also to kind of talk about and discover where we have biases that we don't realize are kind of like hidden in plain sight. I think that would be a really interesting show, and I can't really think of anyone more perfect to lead it than you.
That's a great idea, Ayu. Yes, I do agree with you. I think media has you know, is in a very unique and powerful position to influence a lot of the, you know, larger societal narratives that we have about, you know, racism and other issues that are, you know, that are really pertinent to our time right now and has been important for a very long time in our country. You know, with the power of media, right, because it reaches a lot of people and people who don't normally think about these things, you know, and for media to shape or direct the narrative toward, you know, productive directions, I think is important. But yeah, I definitely agree with you. And I think that's a great idea. And I look forward to tackling that in the future, in future episodes. And maybe you might even become a guest for this episode, Sister Ayu.
I've often thought that, you know, excuse me, that this is a platform for local voices. It's it's not about the host, really. But I mean, it's very important that the host be a part of this idea. But it's the ability to bring different voices onto the air. And so we hear ourselves. So I'm a great supporter of that idea. And we do need to take a tiny break here, EJ. So I see we've got callers, and we're going to get right back to you as soon as we can. We're going to take a tiny break right now. You're listening to Hometown Alaska with your two hosts, Kathleen McCoy and EJ David.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. For more information about this episode, visit us online at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
And this is EJ David.
And we are co-hosting today on our All Ears show, in which we're inviting our audience to tell us what they want us to work on. EJ will be solo hosting once a month coming up, starting soon. And, you know, Hometown Alaska is a weekly show, and we come up with ideas every week. And it's so meaningful to hear from the audience on what they would like us to work on. And we come up, we'll talk about where ideas come from, but so let me share the number one more time, and then we'll take a call from Marie. Here in Anchorage, it's 550-8433, statewide 1-888-353-5752, and of course we'll take email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So let's welcome Marie onto the to Hometown Alaska. Hi, Marie.
Hi there. Great. Congratulations, EJ, and good move on Alaska Public Media for getting him.
Hi, Marie.
Awesome. Hi, EJ. And EJ knows this. As a Filipino, I am so proud. He is like our community's son, that, and we are so proud of him and his work. He's such a great role model for the community, not just for the Filipino community, but I think Anchorage, and I so appreciate his work.
That's,
and,
yeah.
Well, my suggestion for topics, I have so much, like, as a Filipino, I've been a longtime listener, but I'm not sure what the numbers are as far as audience for public radio in the Asian community, and I thought, what a great opportunity having EJ to talk about issues involving or relevant to the Asian American community and the Filipinos. I'm a big advocate for education and civic engagement. So I think education on that would be great, specific to the Asian American communities. And also just how, and with EJ's work on colonial mentality. I mean, I see it every day, you know, in the community, but I don't know that the community can necessarily see it. So I think a topic on how it shows up in people and how it's affecting our community mm-hmm. is also a great way to share your work on that, EJ. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, just I think, and I am so glad because I don't think, at least in public media, that we really focus on the Asian American community, some sort of a forum inviting us in, because usually, mm-hmm. you know, as an immigrant, I can relate to it that sometimes it's hard to go to a place we've never been unless there is a fellow Filipino or someone who looks like us there. Mm-hmm. So now I think having you there, EJ, would be great to invite people mm-hmm. and kind of put the spotlight on our community and just how issues there's so much mm-hmm. issue on forum about Filipinos and mm-hmm. how we can really get involved in our future by knowing how the community works, politics, mm-hmm. civic education, and just getting involved.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Marie. Thank you for calling and thank you for all those ideas. They're great ideas. And thank you for all your work for the community. Oh. I know you've been doing work for many years, not just for the Filipino community, but for the community at large. So thank you. And those are great ideas, you know, especially right now, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on, especially when it comes to, you know, Asian Americans in the country, all the anti-Asian violence, mm-hmm. what happened in Atlanta a few days ago. You know, but even here in Anchorage, you know, I think you've alluded to it. You know, we have a large Asian population in Anchorage and in Alaska. And, you know, and it's a very diverse group. You know, there's a lot of different voices there. So I think your idea of inviting different voices from, you know, this very diverse category, I guess, of people, you know, is a very good idea because this is what Hometown Alaska is about. Mm-hmm. You know, so thank you for that suggestion.
I'm thinking of, you know, we had IU on mm-hmm. recently when we had the mayoral forum. And mm-hmm. before, when I was talking to her before, seeing if she'd be interested in doing that, she made this really important point, which is one person doesn't speak for a whole group. Mm-hmm. You know, there's said it, you know, there's a diversity of voices within mm-hmm. the group. And mm-hmm. that's why it's so great to, you know, maybe have one person that can invite others in, you mm-hmm. know, and mm-hmm. and they there's a sense of trust and they know you. Mm-hmm. And then you can hear a whole... So it relieves you of the burden of, like, I need to speak for all Asian. But that's mm-hmm. what happens mm-hmm. sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But anyway, thank you. And I'm going to go ahead and invite Karen onto Hometown Alaska. Hi, Karen.
Hi there. I'm calling not just for myself, but for a friend of mine, Carol, from the Philippines originally. Mm. We were talking this past Saturday about COVID testing, and she was asking me some questions that I didn't know the answer to. And it was... not about the testing procedure, but the process for analyzing it. And she was saying, Karen, I can't imagine that all those nasal swabs are being sent to the CDC in Atlanta. And are they being digitized? Are they being somehow computerized for analyzing? And I said, no, I think they probably go to Seattle. And she's like, I'm not so sure about that. She said, and we couldn't find information online. And maybe Dr. Ann Zink would be able to tell us that. I know in the past when I've gone to Providence Hospital just for blood tests, I was surprised to see that the result would come back saying it went to Mayo Clinic. And I'm thinking, did they really airmail my blood sample to Mayo? What is the mechanical process for doing that testing? And are there scores and scores of people, or are there... mass computer machines, or how is it done?
Yeah, it's like the day in the life of a nasal swab.
Right.
We learned about how the crucifixes came we can learn how the nasal swabs go to the CDC and DC. That's a really, you know, I think what you're saying is paint me a picture. What really happens? I mean, I have this little interaction with a medical person and they've got my data. But what happens after that? I think that's a great idea. So I'm taking notes. So, yeah.
I think we have a lab here now, though, locally.
We might have more than
yeah.
one.
Yeah,
even.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, but still, you know, you'd know more then mm-hmm. if we went ahead and had a show about that. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm going to welcome Shelley. Hi, Shelley.
Oh, hi.
Good to hear from you. What would you like to talk about?
I wanted to tell EJ he's an interesting person. I like the titles of his books, and I wanted to ask him if he ever thought about writing a book. And this is hard to ask the question because I only have one word, that one word, colonized. Mm-hmm. Would you ever think of writing a book about Europeans or white people being themselves colonized, if you go back in history. Because a lot of people are kind of stuck on the idea of brown or black people being colonized. But if you go back and back, you can see it's always going on.
Hmm. Mm. Something about the human condition here. By the way, I just want to, if you joined us and you're wondering, who is EJ? Who's EJ? Mm-hmm. He is a new co-host on Hometown Alaska. And this is our all ears show in which we are inviting the audience to tell us what kind of shows they would like us to work on. So anyway, I don't know. What do you think about that idea, EJ? It's... We're in a moment now where, the white culture is dominant and it's shifting. Mm-hmm. And that might be some of the source of all the tension, right? Mm-hmm. People sort of who were used to a certain position, realizing it's changing and not being sure where that's going to go.
Yeah. I think it's a topic that is worth studying, white societies that may have been colonized way back in history, but perhaps that somebody else can do that work. My work has been focused on the experiences and the histories of historically marginalized and oppressed communities, and there's a reason for that. It's because our histories and our experiences have not been heard as much, and have been dominated ignored and neglected. And so, my work and my time and my life, I want to devote that to the experiences of historically oppressed peoples. I don't want to devote that to a group of people who I think have already been heard a lot. So again, maybe some other folks can work on that book. Yeah, your question is, working on that book.
Yeah.
That's not me. That's not where my expertise is, and I don't think that's where I want to spend my time on.
And you realize when you get into a topic, you're not going to be here forever. So it's how far can you go? How much can you get done? But that's interesting. I sometimes think that any dominant group may like that position and may try to hang on to that position. But I haven't done any historical work. I can't speak to the issue of whether Caucasian people have been colonized. But at any rate, thank you, Shelley, for the idea. We'll mull it over. Who knows? Sometimes these things, they feed into your brain and you think about them, and then they pop out later as something that you can actually work with. So we've got another caller, and I'm going to... Well, actually, okay. We'd like to welcome Alice onto Hometown Alaska. Hi, Alice.
In maybe having the program invite the different indigenous people. There's a variety of, whether it's the Atna or Tlingit or Haida and the different groups, and have them maybe do an education on their uniqueness in the state. And also the similarities, and just to educate everyone, I'm calling from Palmer, and in Palmer we have Colony Days, but we're not really embracing and educating folks about, the first people that were here, the Atna, and their traditions, and the little bit that I've learned about them. It's fascinating how they survived and traded and there's so much to be learned, and I think that might help to just educate the other folks that, may not realize, the wealth of knowledge and things that we can, continue to benefit from, in the modern times. So, thank you for, giving us an opportunity to, give our little, two cents worth in.
Alice, that's great. I took notes on that. And, you know, what it speaks to is a curiosity. The audience is curious. If there's things out there about Alaska, folks who've lived here for thousands of years, you hear that, but you don't, what about, what beyond that can we, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think Alice speaks to a curiosity and a desire to know more. So mm-hmm. that's great. All right. Thank you so much, Alice. And we are going to welcome Annie onto Hometown Alaska. Hi, Annie.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, EJ. Two of my buddies from UAA.
Oh, Annie, hey.
Hi.
Nice to hear your voice.
It's great to hear both of you, too. I like your idea of the new format and having EJ on for, you know, a month. And it's great.
Yeah.
Good. My idea, here it is I'd like to hear about how the university has adjusted and innovated with COVID and how are students and faculty maneuvering and what things are going to be kept, what kind of innovations have been improvements. And, you know, certainly there's a lot of things we want to get back to and getting together, but I've just heard a few things about, you know, some of the hands-on classes, you know, mm-hmm. what are the labs doing, the bakery cart.
are there still dollar bakery packages on Friday, right? From the culinary department, from the culinary school. Yeah.
And, you know, how has leadership, you know, addressed these things? Because there's certainly been changes in leadership and, you know, it impacts everyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, before the show, I was telling EJ, a friend of mine, your question reminded me of this. Her kids just went back to high school, and it's an adjustment for the kids. Mm-hmm. Basically, they weren't talking to each other. They all had their masks on, and they were in a classroom, and the teacher was saying, you know, it's okay for you to talk to each other. They're so used to not having anyone around. I'm sure that young people have other ways of communicating, texting and all that, but it was remarkably different than prior to COVID when kids would come into a classroom and there'd be lots of noise and talking and jostling and joking, and it was just completely different. So I'm sure similar things might be going on at the university. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great idea. First of all, good to hear your voice again, Annie. It's great. But yeah, that's a great suggestion. You know, I think that's something that we can do. We can invite people from the university to talk about, you know, what's, you know, been changing and, you know, for the good and the bad, right? And if anything, one of the positive things, if there's a positive thing that came out of this pandemic, and I think it's forced a lot of us, including the university, to think of very creative ways to do our work. In this case, you know, to deliver education and to, you know, get students engaged and to, you know, guide students and mentor students, you know, again, in very unique creative ways. So I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that we will be changed by this experience.
Oh, yeah.
In good ways and maybe
not so good
ways. I hope
so. I really hope we're changed in significant ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that the cost of higher education becomes more affordable for people, you know, if we think of new models and new ways of delivering.
And our teachers, we saw how important our teachers are.
So. Right. So anyway, thank you so much, Annie. And again, it's great to hear your voice. And, you know, thanks for listening to Hometown Alaska.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, EJ, we've got through a bunch of calls. So let's see. I thought I would say, you know, a little bit of history about Hometown Alaska.
Sure, yeah.
It like started in 2009. The original idea, I think that there was something called Community Forum that was kind of sunsetting, and they were looking for another community-oriented program. And the original idea was four hosts, because the idea was you would touch different parts of the community and pull. And and the challenge, of course, was that, you know, sustaining that was difficult. And so, you know, there were four hosts. And, I mean, you know, Tika Ballas was one of them. Charles Woolforth was one. Shelley Wade was one. Different people from around the community. But people also had full-time jobs. And so it was hard to sustain it. Eventually, it was Charles and I were doing it together for a long time. That's where the all ears idea came from, because he and I always once a year would do that. And then eventually Charles moved on to other projects, and I did it solo for a long time. And I think it's harder to do it solo. I think it's much more fun to have fellow hosts and colleagues. I think it's refreshing for the audience, you know. So I think this is a really great move, and I'm just really embraced the idea of having EJ, and I'll be tuning into your shows, EJ. So. Let's see, what else do we want to talk about? We've got about a minute before we have to take another mm-hmm. break. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I can share about some of the thoughts that I have. I mean, one of the callers earlier, I believe it was Alice, you know, mm-hmm. who talked about, you know, wanting to learn more about the indigenous peoples of Alaska. And she's correct. You know, there's a lot of different indigenous peoples of Alaska. You know, Alaska is very diverse now. It's always been very diverse. And so, you know, I think that's a great idea. And that's definitely something that I will prioritize in the episodes that I host. Is to, you know, hear a lot of the different voices from the different indigenous communities throughout the state. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, just, you know, just a little, I guess, maybe hint of my first episode that I co-host in a couple of weeks. We'll be focusing on land acknowledgments. So stay tuned for that.
Just in case people aren't exactly sure, land acknowledgments is recognizing that this land was occupied by people long before you arrived, acknowledging that.
Yeah, that there are, you know, there have been indigenous peoples in these lands, mm-hmm. you know, since time immemorial. And mm-hmm. they've been, you know, shepherding and taking care of these lands. And a land acknowledgement is just, you know, is you know, part of it is acknowledging that history, but also respecting that. Mm-hmm. And but we'll talk about this in 2 weeks. You know, I'll have a couple of people who really know, you know, what land acknowledgement is about, and what it needs to accomplish beyond just acknowledging it. Mm-hmm, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Beyond just verbal acknowledgments.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, we'll take a tiny break now. So you're listening to Hometown Alaska, and you're here with Kathleen McCoy and E.J. David. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host today with co-host
E.J. David.
And we are doing an all-ears show on Hometown Alaska, which means we're really wanting to hear from the audience. We'd love to hear. And we've been getting great calls and great suggestions from our listeners. And we've been taking notes. Both E.J. and I mm-hmm. are taking notes here mm-hmm. So that we can turn some of these ideas into programs for the future. So we love hearing from you. 550-8433 in Anchorage, and please feel free to give us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Okay, EJ. Well, we don't have any callers at the moment, mm-hmm, so you mm-hmm. and I can just chat a little bit. Yeah. And I one thing I thought about, you know, where do ideas come from? Well, we listen to people. Yep. That's where a lot of ideas come from. And I stealth listen out in the community. You know, if I'm, of course, I haven't been to any parties in a really long time, but.
Spying is that's spying. Another word for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Stealth just listen. What's on people's mind? What are they talking about? What are they worried about? You know, so you hear a lot of different things, you know, parents worried about kids or sometimes people worried about finances mm-hmm. or all mm-hmm. or jobs or how to get jobs or should they stay in the state. I even did a show once. I had an old dog. She was 14, and she, you know, that decision when you have to decide, am I keeping this dog alive because for me versus the quality of life. And I had a really interesting guest on who was a veterinarian who was retired, but actually would go to people's homes and help them. Mm-hmm. And anyway, you know, so that's a lot of sometimes it's also just my own curiosity. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You, I'm sure you have curiosity about things like, you know, you have the permission to ask. So you have a platform, you know, you have a show. And so people say, OK, I'll come on your show and talk about. So, you know, it's a blend of things. Uh-huh. But it's also very important that, you know, whoever you're listening to, and again, you know, EJ, you're well connected in the Asian American Pacific Island and the university community and the basketball community. You know, there's a lot of communities that you're a member of. And I'm sure that that's where you will think of many of your own ideas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. You know, I have a lot of ideas percolating in my mind already just based on my personal connections. You know, some of it you mentioned. You know, so yeah, I'll be drawing from that definitely a lot. But it's, you know, as we're doing here today, you know, there are many, I guess, corners of our community that, you know, we're not really a part of and that, you know, we don't see. And so if you can call and let us know of those corners, you know, that you're a part of, that we, you know, that Kathleen and I aren't necessarily connected to, you know, please let us know.
You know, absolutely. Again,
this is what the show is about.
Yeah. So one of my thrills has been having young people on the show. I love having, you know, I one show that I really loved, I was assigned to do the statewide spelling bee as a show. And I thought, okay, you know, but then I heard that there was a UPIC spelling bee.
Oh, wow.
And it was so much fun to have both of those winners on. And, you know, it just was a fresh air, a fresh idea. And the young UPIC spelling bee winner was so articulate about being able to speak to his granddad in his own language. And it was just, it felt very Alaskan to be able to have that. And it turned out that the state winner was also an Alaska Native young woman from the valley. Her grandmother called in and said, well, I just want you to know my daughter or my granddaughter is an Alaska Native and a, well, you know, an award-winning speller also. So anyway, you just know, you know, I'm trying to think of other, I've worked with another person in the community that's so active, Shirley Staten with Keys of Life, celebrating, you know, young people and their dreams. And we've had programs where some of those young people were on the show.
Two of my kids were actually part of that project.
That's right. I forgot about that when I thought of it. I just thought about how much fun it is to have young people on the air. And we've had musicians on. We've had live music in the studio just for the sheer pleasure of it. And there's a lot of music in this town from all sorts. And I can never satisfy my appetite for that. So if you musicians are out there and you're thinking, okay, post-COVID, I don't have an audience, well, let us reintroduce you to your audience on the air. You know, we've done the Anchorage Folk Festival and just, you know, local grassroots. Akima was another one, the Spinar Jazz Festival, just different groups like that. And we even had a show on, if you're older and you want to learn music, there was a specialist over at the university who specialized in helping people come to music later in life. And, you know, he just had a touch for, you know, reassuring them. Because it's hard when you've been competent at something in your life. It's hard to be incompetent, and it's hard to, you know, it's the same thing with learning languages and stuff like that. But he was really good about bringing people who finally have time in their life for some music, and they, you know, so, so yeah. Let me put our phone number out there, and we'll hear from what your ideas are. 550-8433 in Anchorage, or send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So, EJ, are any of your children giving you ideas? He has four children.
They always have plenty of ideas. You know, I'm not sure I'm going to bring them all on the air, but yeah, no, but my children, you know, they're amazing. You know, but my daughter, I think my daughter, my older daughter, will definitely be giving me plenty of ideas. And, you know, I might even have her join me here, you know, in some episodes.
She could be a pop-up host.
Oh, yeah. No, she's, you know, she definitely knows her stuff.
Yeah.
She has opinions and, you know, she, you know, is not afraid to share them.
So, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
no, it's amazing. Yeah. She's amazing. She actually had a dentist appointment this morning and had perfect teeth. I'm proud of her.
Well, you know, that's a big deal.
Exactly.
That is a
but
very
that, that
big
speaks
deal.
To her discipline.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all her. That's all her.
That's
but, you
great.
Know, when you were talking about music earlier, Kathleen, you know, that's actually one of the other ideas that I've had in my mind, too, is you know, there's an amazing music scene here in Anchorage.
Do you play, EJ?
No, oh, I wish I did.
Yeah,
no,
I don't
no,
either.
No,
yeah.
I, you know, and I try to sing, but no, it doesn't work
People
out.
People say, please, no.
But, you know, one thought I had is to bring in, there's a group of folks who are trying to kind of combine native music and, you know, indigenous music with hip hop.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, with hip hop, with rap. And, you know, it'd be great. One idea I have is to bring, you know, a few of them in, you know, and to talk about that and, you know, how that might be, empowering for them, you know, why they do it.
Yeah. And are they in Anchorage?
Oh, yeah, all over. They're okay. in Anchorage and all over okay. the state. Yeah, all so, right. you know, so I want to bring a couple of them.
That'd be fabulous. Yeah. Yeah, it's an emerging art form probably.
Exactly.
You know,
you know, and one of them is actually my brother-in-law. So
okay.
River Flows, if you're listening, you know, I'll be inviting you over to the show one of these days.
So get your act together. I haven't had a chance to read it, but there was a headline in the Anchorage Daily News about a group from Sitka. Did you see that today?
I saw that. I didn't read it yet. No,
but
no.
I'm dying to read it because I thought, and they've been somehow noticed, I think, on a national level. And it's like coming from Sitka, and it must be something really capturing, you know, just really capturing. Well, I'm going to welcome another caller on to Hometown Alaska. Stacy, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Very glad to have you. What's your idea?
So I wanted to help spread awareness for convincing our state's Division of Public Assistance to start accepting electronic signatures for people who are applying for public assistance. Currently, they only accept pen and paper signatures. So we're trying to convince the public to contact their state representatives, legislature, to help change this policy that will allow for the Division of Public Assistance to accept electronic signatures.
Wow. I did not know that. But I think this whole idea of electronic signatures or needing them or not needing them for mail-in ballots was a topic because of COVID in the last election. I did not know about this. Is there resistance to it, or is it just a new idea that is just working its way through the system?
Well, we initially began contacting the Division of Public Assistance about a year ago when COVID hit. And it's been ongoing for a year to try to get policies and procedures changed. However, it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. So I've actually also created a petition to help spread awareness. And I'm so glad that you had this opportunity to just allow public to contact your show to hopefully spread education and awareness overall, just, you know, that this change needs to happen.
Do you work in that area, Stacy?
I do, mm-hmm. and I don't think I can give my place of work.
Oh, no, that's fine. I was just wondering, you know, how you came to know about it as an issue. And a lot of times we learn things from the work we do in the world. So I wasn't being critical of that idea at all. I just wondered, you know, how did you come to know about this? So, well, that's great. And I'm glad you called in and shared that information. Sometimes the way systems are working are really worth taking a look at. How can things be made easier for people? So thank you so much, Stacy.
Yes, thank you. I did also want to mention quickly, I know we're short on time, but currently we can apply for the permanent fund dividend, fishing licenses, hunting licenses, even unemployment. However, people who are in low income situations, especially in need, they still need the ability to sign for benefits electronically, especially during a pandemic. So thank you so much for your time and for having me.
Well, thank you so much. And keep us in mind for future issues you think that the broader community should be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks a lot, Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
Take care. Keep listening. Okay. So let me think. What else, EJ? We've got still about 5 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. Any more stories you want to tell? you know, one other thing I was going to say, I just saw a letter to the editor the other day saying the importance of sports in education.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I've you know, we had a program here a while ago about the teams at UAA that were struggling to save themselves. And I think one succeeded and two more have more time to work on it. But I worked at the university for, 8 years. And I just don't know how you can separate academics from, you learn so much in sports is what I was getting at.
Yes.
You know, you learn a lot of tenacity, you learn defeat. I mean, I was thinking about how difficult it is for people to accept defeat, and it happens every game.
Yes.
Somebody wins, somebody loses. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I know that there are people who say, well, when push comes to shove, academics has to come out on top. But I was just sort of thinking, you know, there is it's not just a game. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of character build. And I'm not an athlete. I mean, I never really had any skills in that direction. But mm-hmm. I ended up at the university writing a lot about athletes who were balancing their academics and their, mm-hmm. you know, and just the kinds of things they learned. And I was thinking about you with your basketball, because that really was such a formative experience.
I learned plenty from sports. Mm-hmm. You know, perseverance. Yeah.
You have to work for it. You got to work for it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, but also, you know, knowing how to work, you know, with mm-hmm. other people. You know, I played a team sport.
Yeah.
So, you know, knowing how all of us have a role to play mm-hmm. and for us to succeed together, we need to, you know, do mm-hmm. our roles.
Yeah.
So I think it taught me a lot about society. Mm-hmm. So that's an important topic. You know, with sports. I mean, I'm dealing with it in a different level right now with my children, because my children play sports, mm-hmm. or, you know, it's an important part of their lives. It's an important part of their education, mm-hmm. but it's also an important part of their well-being, right? And so now the question becomes, well, what part of their well-being are you more concerned about? Is it their physical well-being given the pandemic, or are you talking about just their, you know, psychological, mental well-being, you know, which, mm-hmm. you know, they get a lot from sports, you know, from interacting with their peers and so on. And so, you know, it's a difficult decision, you know, for many parents, I think, especially right now.
Because
they have to weigh the risk and benefits.
Should they let their child play this sport? Yeah. And I'm not sure whether they wear masks when they're playing. What do your kids play? Do they do soccer?
They play basketball.
Of course they play basketball.
So not only is it indoors, you know, it's close contact, right? Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely a dilemma mm-hmm. that many parents are dealing with right now, mm-hmm. You know, with their children. And you just do a lot of, you know, weighing of the risk and benefits, and, you know, you try to understand the studies as best as you can, you know, despite the lack of studies, especially with children and the, you know, inconclusive data, but you have to balance it out. You know, there's the risk and benefits, and then there's, you know, mental well-being and spiritual well-being also, mm-hmm. and physical well-being, because they get a lot of exercise from that too. You know, it's an overall thing.
You have to tire those puppies out.
Exactly. You know, and that, you know, that has an overall effect. You know, mm-hmm. if they're not getting their physical exercise, then, you know, they might start acting up. They don't know what to do with their energy.
And then
it starts affecting family life because they're acting up.
Yeah, mom and dad are always mad at me.
So, you know, but I think I'm not unique. I think right now there are a lot of parents mm-hmm. who are.
Oh, it's been
in
a
the
tremendous,
mm-hmm.
incredible, difficult year in mm-hmm. so many ways. Mm-hmm.
You know, and right now I believe it's an ongoing issue. You know, you have the Juno basketball team, the boys basketball team that won their regionals. You know, but now they cannot come to the state tournament because of, you know, the COVID mitigation plans of the Juneau School District. That's an issue happening right now.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, because their school district over there won't let them go to the state tournament, which is being held in the Mat-Su.
Wow, I wonder what, I mean, so they just won't have the chance to compete for the state?
They won't, even though they're the regional champs.
Oh, man, that must be really hard to swallow when you've fought all season for that position.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. By the way, do you go back to the Philippines very often to visit? So you still have family back there?
Oh, yeah. My sister still lives there. My nieces. I have a lot of friends, a lot of relatives still in the Philippines. Actually, my family and I were just there, you know, just a month before the pandemic hit.
Mm.
And
have you lured family to Alaska? Or you're the outlier. They prefer the nice,
warmer
climate?
No, my mom's here now.
Well, say hi to your mom. All right. We're out of time. So I really want to say, hey, EJ, thank you for coming on being a co-host with me. And now you'll be solo after that.
I'm excited,
really excited to have you join Hometown. And, of course, thank you to our callers and listeners today. And keep those ideas coming. You can call in any show to give us an idea. So next Monday, Justice Alaska on Hometown Alaska will be back with co-host Elaine Andrews when we hear from leadership at the social justice nonprofit Victims for Justice, as well as a few collaborators who share a similar mission. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org. Will Franklin was our audio engineer. Thank you so much for joining us today on Hometown Alaska.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.